Well, good morning and welcome to Craigie Hill Presbyterian. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's the 12th of April 2020. This is the seventh of our stay at home services. A few announcements just to bring to your attention. I think that's all the announcements. Let me call us to worship. Reading from 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection of Christ. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, of which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you as of first importance what also I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So whether it that was I or they, so we preach, so you believed. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. We've believed. Let's continue as we come before the Lord in prayer and in adoration. Let's pray. Let's pray. Our Father God, we praise and worship you, our gracious God. Oh Lord, you have caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We praise and honor you that you have, Lord, given us, bestowed upon us such so rich an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, was kept in heaven for us. Our Father, we praise and adore you that you have secured for us a new hope, a new future, by the means of that, Lord, wondrous, completed victory won by Christ over sin and death. Lord, we worship you that Christ has spoiled the strong man. He's defeated the devil. Lord, he has crushed the serpent's head. And Lord, indeed, even now, the powers of darkness, the prince of the air, is in confusion and disarray. Oh, Lord, we worship you that Christ triumphed from that empty tomb. Oh, Lord, we praise your name that indeed he is not here. He has risen. Lord, we pray that we who walk in darkness, Lord, we thank you that we have seen that great light. Oh, Lord, we worship you this morning. And Father, we pray that you would fill our minds with the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on him this morning. Oh, Lord, help us to confess our sins, where once we were bound and enslaved by sin, capable of only doing the will of the devil. Oh Lord, we thank you that in Christ we have been set free. Oh Lord, we praise your name, gracious Father, for all that you have given to us in that mighty Savior. We praise you, Jesus Christ, for the full salvation you've accomplished for us. And we praise you, Holy Spirit, for convicting us of sin, for applying to us the saving grace of Christ, and for keeping us in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've your Bibles with you, we'll read from God's Word from the book of Acts. Campbell had taken us to verse 26 of Acts 27. And we're going to begin at verse 27. We'll read through to verse 38 here this morning. Acts 27 and verse 27. When the 14th night had come, as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little further on, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape the ship, that lowered the ship's boat onto the sea under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day, and you have continued in suspense and without food, and having taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to the Lord, or to God, in the presence of all. He broke it and began to eat. And they were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. We were all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out the wheat into the sea. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. For that great promise, not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. Now, boys and girls, happy Easter. I love Easter. It's so great. And although this one's a little bit different, we are not all together. I am sure you have been remembering Easter in your homes. Some of you, I know, were up very early indeed to read God's word, to pray and to thank the Lord that he is risen. But I wonder if earlier last week or maybe tomorrow or later in the week, I wonder if any of you gone on an Easter egg hunt. Phoebe and me, you know, we went on a mini Easter egg hunt earlier in the week. Would you like to see it, boys and girls? Let's watch it and see if you can follow along. What do we have here, Phoebe? It says this way. I wonder, can you see any Easter eggs? You put it in your little basket. Now, what else can we find? Do you see anything at the very bottom of the garden? Will we go down slowly? Let me see it. Oh, let me see. Do you see any signs?
I see one. Where is it?
This way here? Maybe over the trees over there? Do I see that thing? Let me see what you got. Let me see. Now, what does it say, Phoebe?
Daddy.
This way.
Daddy.
I wonder, do we see anything?
Daddy.
Up towards the rainbow, maybe?
Yeah.
Phoebe. Oh, what's all of here? And a piece of cloth too. Will we put them all in our bag? Right, you put it in your bag too. So what do we have?
Yeah.
And we've got...
Daddy.
And we've got a bunny.
Daddy.
And a little sheep.
Daddy.
Very good.
Well, wasn't that fun? Let's see if you can remember what Phoebe found on the treasure hunt. We'll start with the piece of cloth. That's a funny thing to have on an Easter egg hunt. But you know, boys and girls, it's an important thing. It is a reminder of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was put to death for our sins. Though he had done nothing wrong, he took that punishment. He died and was put in the tomb. And then a huge stone was rolled over the entrance. And on Sunday, the Lord's Day, when some of his friends went to the tomb, they found out that it was empty. Can you imagine their amazement? All that was left of Jesus was the linen that they used to wrap his body up, and was folded and left on the side. He was not there. He had risen, just as he said he would. Also in the little Easter basket, we found some eggs and some bunnies, and I'm sure you have lots of Easter eggs and bunnies at home, and you're looking forward maybe to eating some of them later. They're a reminder, of course, of new life. Spring in particular is a time for that, but the Christian boy and girl, well, for us, we think about the new life that we have in Christ. That time, that how in him we can be born again, know freedom from our sins, and a new life that lasts forever. Also, did you spot the little sheep? If you'd have been at church, unfortunately, we couldn't be all together, but a week or so ago, what we'd planned, Juanita had made loads of these little sheep for you. It's a reminder that Christian boys and girls are sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd, Jesus. God's rescue plan just doesn't give children new life, but a new family of Christian people. I know there's lots of things to be excited about. Chocolate eggs, maybe a big dinner today. But I hope that you're even more excited about Jesus, knowing him as the best thing that there ever could be. Hoping in him as the risen Son and enjoying life in him. Even sharing that love with others. Have a blessed Easter, boys and girls. And remember the empty tomb and new life in Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Our Father God, we give thanks to you, Lord, for the empty tomb. We thank you that he is risen. Lord, that Jesus Christ, indeed, the grave could not hold him. Lord, we pray for our boys and girls. Lord, as they are in their homes with their mums and dads and indeed grannies and grandas, Lord, as they are unable to be out and about, yet, O Lord, we pray that you would challenge their little hearts. Lord, encourage them all the more with the Christian hope that is ours in Christ, of our Savior who conquered death, who rules and reigns on the throne. O Lord, we pray that you would be close to them, even this Easter time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, or we'll put it up on the screen, why don't you not turn with me to John's Gospel, John 20. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. to the one whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. And both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw that the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying in with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Amen, and we thank the Lord for his word to us. It is a joy to turn to John 20 and 1 to 10 this morning. Here we see and we receive and that simple gospel, that gospel encouragement of the resurrection in days of separation. When we are hard-pressed from every side, how we need to hear that Christ died and Christ rose again for his people's salvation. We need to hear these encounters at the tomb of Mary, of John, of Peter. Let's see and believe the truthful story of the empty tomb, the truth, the resurrection of Christ. In verse 1, as we go through the text, Sabbath ends at sunset on the day, and so Saturday for the Jews, and on Sunday morning, the city would have been coming to life, normal life again. Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb early, very early, it was still dark, and alongside her, Mark records that Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and Salome, brought spices to go and anoint Jesus' body. Luke identifies another woman, Joanna, and perhaps she came later. But Mary Magdalene is the focus of John 20, the focus of the beloved disciple. Mary Magdalene is this woman, this lady who loved the Lord Jesus so much. She was dramatically healed, recall of seven devils by her Savior. She owed her very life to him. She waited at the cross the longest and was first to his garden tomb that provided by Joseph of Arimathea. And though physically dark, the light of the resurrection could not be held back. The stone had been taken away from the tomb. And Mark and Matthew, we recall and we're told that the angelic messenger that told them the truth of Christ's absence, "Don't fear, he is not here, he is risen." And they're told not to keep it to themselves. They are to go and tell Jesus' disciples. And all this takes place between verse 1 and verse 2 in John 20. Whether Mary Magdalene was party to that, I don't know, because John records that she was the first to see the stone rolled away, and then waiting for nothing, she runs to tell Peter and John, presumably at a house not too far away. Verse 2, so in confusion and holy fear, Mary tells them that Christ's body is gone, and it's taken, she doesn't know where. She doesn't know where this body is gone. What must have not been like? Their master crucified, them sat together while the other disciples are scattered about Jerusalem. And in bursts Mary with the most remarkable of news. The tomb was empty. The Lord's body was gone. Now she has not grasped in entirety the risen nature of Christ yet. She's speaking about a body. And presumably she's thinking maybe that the Lord's enemies have stolen it. They have taken it. Verse 3. Peter and John leap to action. They sprint to the tomb to try to sort this matter out, maybe even daring to hope that their sorrow could be turned to joy. You know, time slows down in moments of crisis. And a lot would have been going on through their heads, I reckon, as John outsprints Peter. Likely he was younger. He arrives first, but he does not go into the tomb. Rather, he stoops down at the entrance and sees the empty tomb, the folded grave clothes. Why does he not go in? The text doesn't tell us. We don't know. The one writing, of course, John 20, is that very beloved disciple. This is his eyewitness account. But he doesn't tell us. Rather, he gives Peter the main part. Peter, verse 6, arrives and examines what John saw with the empty tomb, the linen clothes. And verse 7, we see Peter goes in. He sees more. The rolled up linen cloths are set aside. The napkin, which would have been tied around his head, was rolled up, folded in another place separate. This is no scene. Peter immediately realizes this is no scene of haste. This isn't a crime scene where Jesus' body has been bungled out and stolen double time. Thief wouldn't have rolled up the face cloth or taken off the linen clothes from the body. No, what Peter is looking at here in that empty tomb is a sign of the supernatural resurrection. A sign of the supernatural resurrection. Verse 8. At last, John follows in and sees with his eyes that calm, that orderly scene. No body, neatly stacked, grave clothes. And with what beautiful detail John records for us in the text. As he writes under the inspiration of the Spirit, he saw and he believed. Just as the morning light was pouring into the tomb, so the reality of the resurrection was pouring into John's heart. He believed, he really believed, that Christ had risen from the dead. The grave could not hold him. Up until that point, verse 9, the two at the grave and all the rest of the disciples hadn't really understood, we're told, the meaning of Scripture, that he must be raised from the dead. He must rise from the dead. Even after dying for our sins, they hadn't rightly understood the Scriptures, the Old Testament. They hadn't rightly understood Daniel and the sleeping in the dust of the earth and awakening, or Ezekiel and the valley of dry bones, or Psalm 71, and the bringing forth from the depths of the earth, or Isaac and Abraham on Mount Moriah, and how at the moment of death God intervened and with an innocent substitute. We could go on and on throughout the Old Testament to gain and to be led in deeper understanding of he must rise again. He must. He must. The second Adam dies to gain back what the first lost. Meanwhile, at the tomb, verse 10, the time has come to go back to their own homes. There's no need to be hanging about. They could do no more good there. Better to be away, safe from the Romans and the Jews, ready to tell others, undoubtedly including Mary, that Jesus' mother, whom John was looking after, following Christ's command to the beloved disciple from the cross. They leave. You know, it's Easter morning. And while unlike the front of the newsletter yesterday, it boldly asserted, churches are looking forward to a digital Easter. A plot spoiler, we aren't. We lament before the Lord our separation and need of this. But what we can do is reflect upon John 20 this morning and this evening. Unfortunately, what passes in these times for modern preaching is so often a up and be doing. Doing something to work your peace with God. There is much ministerial motive, but little meditation on the word of Scripture. And as we try to think and apply this passage of God's word in our context, It isn't a doing that I desire for us. It's a believing. Believing the record, the witness of John, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, and so the testimony of God concerning the resurrection. And its application for us, that there is a second Adam. There is one who takes our sin. Put yourselves in the shoes of Mary Magdalene and those disciples, particularly Peter and John. They are in a time, not Saturday, early on the Sunday morning before they see the empty tomb, when God sent messenger, the miracle worker, the Messiah, whom you loved and you owed all to, had been crucified. And you'll likely be next as the authorities come for you as a follower of him. What was to happen next? There in the hardest time, in the darkest hour, the first day of the week dawned. And in the dim twilight, the outline of the stone rolled away was spotted by Mary Magdalene. The empty tomb confirmed by John and the grave clothes witnessed as rolled up, neatly set aside by Peter. Hope dawned on those followers of Christ because of what they saw, the truth of God's doing. The stone rolled away, the body gone, the grave clothes rolled up. The body, not there, it was exactly as Christ claimed. The chief priests and Pharisees, what did they do? They, remember, they went to Pilate and they said, they quoted to Pilate Christ's own words, "After 3 days I will rise again." It was as Christ claimed. There were eternal things to be seen and believed. These first and early Christians would be marked apart from the Jews and from the Romans and the world around them. Not by their ease, not by their wealth, not by long life or any amount of temporal comfort, but by the reality of that empty tomb. Surely they would get sick, they would know poverty, they would know extreme discomfort, suffering, even martyrdom. But what marked them apart from all other people was this risen Savior. This moment in John 20 and 1 to 10 was God's starting blast for his people. The reliance on Christ's work cemented by the reality of the risen Savior. And so they would give up worldly aspirations of a best life now. They would set aside efforts to work righteousness, to be up and doing. Even their undue fears of the world. Rather, instead, they would bear that cross daily in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of eternal life from the dead. In Adam's transgressions, we die. And yet our resurrection is secured by Christ's spotless body and work. The Christian has a life valuing the eternal things and the things that will last, rather than that which is prized by the eyes of sinful men and so detestable to the Lord. The testimony of God is this, that Jesus Christ paid the price of redemption, delivers his people from the wrath to come, grants them an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and which will never tarnish, spoil, or fade away. His precious life demands that a redemption of his children. And nothing restored by him will suffer eternal corruption. Now, presently, we witness his rule in the midst of his enemies. We see global strife and misery. We see suffering and death. We hear well that call to repentance. Society is shifting, changing in weeks, which you would have previously thought would have taken years to happen. But Christ's people this morning are those who are comforted in the midst of suffering by the hope of things unseen. We are not spared the suffering, but we are given the hope of things unseen. What was comforting about that empty tomb was what was unseen, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so today, we hope in what we don't see, until every enemy, even death, is finally made the Lord's footstool, and we wait the redemption of our bodies at the resurrection, for God to make all things new, and so deliver creation from the bondage of corruption in the eternal free ages. Lord Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings. He partook in flesh and blood with the children whom God gave him, even so that the many sons and daughters whom he brings into glory. I have nothing to call you to do. I have no wish to give you a space to have a foot in the camp of grace and a foot in the camp of works. I can only bring you back to the words of Holy Scripture this Sabbath morning, to the empty tomb. We see and we believe. Christians, have a wonderful Lord's Day, set apart from the peoples of the earth because of the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Jesus Christ said, "Fear not, I am the first, I am the last, I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Let's bring our prayers for others even before him now. Let's pray. Our mighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the sure and the certain hope of the resurrection because of Christ. Oh Lord, we confess it all a work of yours. Not one of us can boast. Lord, fix our eyes on Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would take and use your word to open up blinded sinners this morning. We pray that you would take and use your word to encourage the souls of believers this morning. That though we suffer, though we get sick, Lord, even though we die, yet we live a hope of resurrection, an assurance of resurrection, because of the one who takes our punishment, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we repent, Lord, of our sins. Lord, we wish to lay them and confess them before you. Oh, Lord, how we have been prideful. Lord, how we have been slothful, how we have not attended to that which you've set out for us to do. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, though. We thank you that in him there's full and free forgiveness, that his perfect work covers us. Oh, Lord, lead us into greater obedience. Draw us closer to him. Lord, we remember, Lord, our world at this time. Lord, we pray particularly for the Christians therein, those who are set apart. Lord, that this Easter Sunday they would know the presence of the risen Savior. Lord, through his word, Lord, as they celebrate his victory, Lord, in perhaps a way that and ways that we could not have imagined, Lord, even months ago, yet, O Lord, we are unable to be together as your covenant people. Yet, Father, we pray that you would be close in family, indeed personal worship this day. And Father, we pray that, Lord, as we join perhaps in a measure with the persecuted church and sense for a moment their inability to regularly meet for worship, Lord, that we would draw alongside them. Lord, we hear well that your word tells us, blessed indeed are those who suffer for the cause of righteousness. Lord, lead us into greater understanding of faith through the reading of the word and prayer. Father, remember the world at this time. We remember those who are receiving treatment, Lord, for coronavirus. And Lord, particularly in our own land, as the anticipated peak, Lord, of cases is perhaps not far from us. Lord, we ask that indeed they would know God's comfort, strength, and healing touch. Father, remember the NHS, Lord, and the HSE staff, Lord, who have, Lord, who suffer, Lord, for their job, Lord, who've contracted the virus. Lord, we pray for them. We thank you, O Lord, that indeed, even as your word tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. O Lord, remember our prime minister at this time. Lord, we thank you for his, Lord, continued recovery. And Lord, we pray that you'd lead him into greater strength in the days ahead. Lord, even speak to him. Lord, as we've heard of AIDS praying for him. Lord, as we've seen indeed many prayers for Boris. Oh Lord, we ask for yet your sovereign saving work, Lord, to be, Lord, wrought upon this man. Lord, we remember our church. Lord, though we suffer like our neighbors, we ask, O Lord, that you would mark us out as people who have that resurrected hope. In your Son's precious name, we pray these things. Amen. Now, as we come indeed bring our time together to a close, we're going to play Thine Be the Glory. And the words will be on the screen. Why don't you not join along in song and praise? Let's sing. This Easter morn, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.